I've been saved and sanctified, oh, I can hardly wait. When Jesus comes to take me home and enter the pearly gates, I'll walk on shining streets of gold in that city bright and fair. There's nothing on this earth down here that could ever quite compare. One glorious morning we shall rise to meet the Lamb. One glorious morning we'll sing praise to the great I Am. Oh, what a celebration, a coronation of the King. One glorious morning we will hear all heaven ring.
God's face will shine upon us in that happy home above.
Our hearts will be rejoicing for His grace and saving love.
We'll bow down at our Savior's feet, we'll worship our great King. In the hallelujah chorus,
the song of the redeemed. One glorious morning we shall rise to meet the Lamb. One glorious morning we'll sing praise to the great I Am. Oh, what a celebration, a coronation of the King. One glorious morning we will hear all heaven ring. Heaven ring. One glorious morning we shall rise to meet the Lamb. One glorious morning we'll sing praise to the great I Am. Oh, what a celebration, a coronation of the King. One glorious morning we will hear all heaven ring. One glorious morning we will hear all heaven ring. Ring. Hear all heaven ring.
Amen. Thank you to my bodyguards for joining up here tonight. They'd like to think so at least. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of 1 Kings. In your Bibles, 1 Kings chapter number 17. As you find that, if you would stand to your feet as we read the Word of God, 1 Kings chapter 17, we'll begin reading verse number 1. 1 Kings chapter 17. And we'll read verse 1 down to verse number 7, if you would follow along as we read from the Word of God tonight. The Bible says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land." Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for the night. Thank you for this service. Thank you for the gathering together of believers in a church house that we can come to for the word of God that we can open up. But thank you most of all for the salvation, Lord, that you so freely given by Jesus Christ. Bless the night and the service, we pray in your name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So look at this passage tonight. I want to look at this passage here about this man named Elijah. It's not just a person, not just a name, but a person. His name is Elijah. This is the first time Elijah is mentioned in the Bible. And Elijah, at the very beginning, comes to Ahab and challenges Ahab for his wickedness. At the end of chapter number 16, that the Bible says Ahab was more wicked than anyone that had come before him. He was a wicked king, and part of that was by marrying a wicked queen in Jezebel. And God's judgment was coming upon them, and God used this prophet Elijah, and he came to Ahab and said, "It's not going to rain for these years, but according to my word." And he's challenging the king and a wicked man that did not believe and follow God, and was really a dangerous proclamation to make. But according to God's word, he said that. And the Bible says that the Lord came to Elijah and told him, he said, "I want you to go eastward and I want you to go to the brook Cherith. I want you to go to the brook Cherith and I want you to hide yourself there. I want you to stay there for a while." And he said, "And while you're there, you're going to drink from the brook. Not only are you going to drink from this brook, but," he said, "a ravens are going to come and feed you there. Fine dining at its best. Food delivered not by Grubhub or whatever it may be, but food brought by the ravens, bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening. And maybe wasn't his idea of a camping trip or of a little vacation time, but God said, I just want you to go there and stay. There was no time frame given. He says, I just want you to go there and stay. Drink from the brook, and the raven will feed you there for these number of years. And so Elijah went there. We don't know how long this time frame was, but we do know that eventually the famine, due to no rain and no dew, that the brook dried up. Where God had sent him seemed to become a dry place. The Bible says in verse number 7, it came to pass after a while, again, not knowing the time frame, but it had been a while, enough time for this brook to dry up. And it says, and the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. You ever been in a place in your life where God has brought you to, and it seems that the brook has dried up? It seems that God has led you, God has led you to where you are in your life, but it seems that God had forsaken you. It seems that God has left you. It seems that maybe God has forgotten about you. Sometimes that in our Christian life, sometimes things get dry. Sometimes things get hard. Sometimes it gets empty. You get to a place where you wonder, well, God, why did you bring me here? You ever been there before? And you maybe start to question and wonder and think, God, did you forget about me? You know, you start to write SOS in the sand on the beach. God, do you remember where I am? And he heard nothing from God. It seems from the beginning of this, where God commanded him to go to the brook until the time that he told him to leave, it seems that there was no word from God. And Elijah just stayed there waiting on God. Elijah was doing exactly what God told him to do, and he was exactly where God placed him, which is where you want to be in your life. Exactly where God wants for you to be. Elijah is one of my favorite Bible characters. Someone in a way that's relatable, but also someone that I look up to as a man of great faith. And Elijah had great faith in God. He was a great prophet. And he was a preacher that he'd go before the king and he'd call him out, but then he'd also run from the queen and go hide in a cave. He was a man of great faith, but he was a man that had great foes of Ahab and Jezebel. He was a man that had great fears after the Mount Carmel experience of the fire coming down from heaven and killing the false prophets. And then Jezebel said, we're gonna kill you. And he goes and hides himself. He runs from them. Elijah was a man that had a great follower that we would know of by the man named Elisha that was there when Elijah was taken up to heaven, and he would do twice the miracles that Elijah had done. He comes on the scene, and the first thing that we see about him is prophesying against this wicked king. And that's a if you think about it, there was no law in place where he couldn't have taken his life. He was putting his life on the line to do what God had called him to do. And he told him, it's not going to rain here. And then God went and he hid him for some period of time, and he sent him to the brook. This brook here, with the famine that's going to come, but the brook is a picture of a life source. And you want to be by a brook. If you're going to build your house and there's not plumbing, and you're going to go and build your house, and you're going to find a place where there's water running. But if you think of it, if you know a famine's coming, would you go to a brook? A brook is the smallest stream of water that you could identify from a river to a lake to a stream. It's the smallest stream of river, a brook. It's pretty small. A brook is small enough, it'd be described as a place where you could walk across or you could jump across. It wasn't very big. So if a famine is coming, would you want to go to the smallest stream of water? Probably not. But that's exactly where God had sent him. And when he stayed there for a period of time, then the brook started to get drier and drier. And that brook that was maybe 10 feet wide started to kind of, the rock started peeking through and started to shrink a little bit to where it was just a trickle. And then all of a sudden the water was gone and there was nothing left. You get to that place in your life where you have some dry seasons where God has placed you. I've been there before in my life. Maybe you're having a dry season personally. Maybe God allows you to go through a time where you lose your job. Maybe God brings you through a time where your health fails. Maybe where you've lost a loved one. Maybe a child has walked away from the Lord and it's just a dry season. Sometimes those dry seasons can last for seasons. And it seems that those times can seem to continue and is dry. And it seems that there's no life and it maybe seems that God has forsaken you. But don't lose hope yet. Don't lose hope. Maybe it's a dry season personally. Maybe it's a dry season in your life spiritually. Maybe the songs in your life are not what they used to be. Maybe the singing in your life that once was exciting, now it seems that it's just not there like it was. You're singing the right songs, but there's something that's missing. Maybe you haven't seen a soul saved in a while. And you're doing the work of God. You're where God has placed you, but it just seems dry. Maybe you've been reading the Bible, but God's not been speaking to your heart as He has at other times. And you're not just going through the motions, but you're there, but it's just not what it used to be. Maybe your prayer life, you're praying and you're faithful, but it just seems that the prayers aren't getting answered. It seems that God's not listening to you, and it may seem that God has forgotten about you, but don't lose hope in God. Maybe it's been a while since you've heard the voice of God speaking to your heart. Maybe it's been a while since God has moved in your heart during the preaching time or during your Bible time. Maybe in your ministry that the Lord allows you to work in. Maybe it's a bus ministry or a Sunday school class, and it seems that it's not what it used to be. What do you do when the brook dries up? Number one is this: stay at the place of God's provision. When it seems that the brook has dried up and it seems like you need to skip town and you need to run off, stay in the place of God's provision. If you see here that God sent him in verse number 3 and he says, and turn eastward, and he says, and hide thyself. God didn't want him there for a period of time. He wanted him to stay there. And he was going to provide from there, and God did provide for him, didn't he? He gave him water. He fed him with the raven in the morning and the raven in the evening, and God provided by that brook. He provided by him. When the famine comes, this brook was going to dry up, and God knew what was going to happen before he even placed him there. This name Cherith, where God placed him at this brook, is derived from a Hebrew word meaning to cut or to separate. And God puts us in places in our lives where we think, God, I want the palace scenario, right? You know, I want all the provisions. I want all the goods. That's where I'm going to be comfortable, and that's where I believe that God's blessing is. But sometimes God places us somewhere where God says, I'm going to let you go without. I'm going to let you get to a place where it runs dry. It's a place of testing, it's a place of trial, and it's a place where God is working on your heart and life and on mine. He brings him to this brook where he's going to give him water to drink, this life substance, but eventually it was going to dry up. But it's a place where God had provided for him, where God had called him to go, and where God wanted him to stay. God provided for him by a raven. A raven's an animal that was forbidden by the Israelites to eat these animals. I don't know anyone that would want to eat a raven, unless if you're up in the hills and you like to eat roadkill or things, or you're hunting for the birds. I don't know, maybe. Maybe you've eaten a raven and it's really good. I don't really want to try it. Yet God chose the raven to feed Elijah in the morning and the evening. I can imagine Elijah sitting there and he gets a drink and the sun comes up and he's there for however long period of time. I tried to look. How long does it take for a brook to dry up? I don't know. But he waited there and all of a sudden the raven came. Was it the same one? Was it a different one? I'm not sure whether it's a bunch of them bringing him food. I'm not really sure. But the raven came and all of a sudden he comes flying in. And there he comes and he drops his food. And he said, well, there's breakfast. And he flies off. And he eats, and in the evening he's starting to get hungry. And you think, well, it's about that time the raven's going to come by. And here comes the raven flying in, and he comes and drops the food there, and he takes off. And it's a reminder that God was providing for his needs each and every day, that God had not forgotten about him, even in the midst of the trial. See, in our Christian life, I think sometimes we think, God, I'm living for you. I should get everything that I want and everything that I need and never go without. But that's not how God works. For when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Some of the greatest times of growth in my life, in my faith as a Christian, as a father, as a husband, has been in times of being without. And you get on your knees and pray and said, God, I know this is where you want me to be. So I need you to provide because I have nowhere else to go. And you hide yourself exactly where God has called you to be. See, it's not time to leave the place where God has called you to go. It's a time to learn and to grow your faith and to build your faith in God as God allows you to go through this trial. The Bible says in Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." God has not forgotten where you are. God hasn't forgotten your address and your name and your need. God knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what your need is. But just wait on God's timing. You stay faithful to where God has called you to be, and God will and can supply your need. The Bible says in Matthew 6:31, "Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed?" There's nothing wrong to think, what am I going to eat my next meal? What, you know, where am I going to be? How am I going to be clothed? Or where am I going to live? God said, don't worry about those things. He says, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things." God knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you need. In Luke 12:24, it says, "Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have their storehouse nor barn, but God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls?" If God's going to take care of the fowls of the air and the birds, and if God can take care of them, can't He take care of you as well? Isn't it amazing how many times God has provided, and God has provided so many times in my life, but then how many times I have a lack of faith when I have a need and I say, "God, have you forgotten about me? Am not I serving you and trying to do what's right?" And God said, "I've not forgotten. I'll take care of your needs right on time." Stay at the place of God's provision. When you get into that dry season in your life, don't stop reading your Bible. Don't stop reading your Bible. You say it's dried up and God's forgotten about me. Forget the Bible. Don't leave the Word of God in your life. Hide yourself where God has placed you and stay faithful to God. Continue praying to God. Pray through it. Pray through it. There's times where you go through needs and God keeps you up at night and the worries of life keep you up and you keep praying and say, "God, I know you have a plan and I know you know where I am, but I'm just going to pray and just trust in you." Don't quit on the house of God. One of the worst things you can do as the difficult times of life come up and the trials come is to leave your Bible time and to leave your prayer time and to say, "Well, God, I'm just going to quit going to church because what's the point?" You stay faithful to God, and God will always stay faithful to you. Don't leave God in those dry seasons. Continue to witness. Don't run off on your family. Don't run off when things get difficult. Anyone can quit when things get hard. Anyone can, and people do it all the time. Quit on your job, quit on your family, quit on God. Anyone can quit, but can you stay faithful when the times get tough? When the dry seasons come, guess what? Everyone's going to go through the dry seasons. Everyone's going to go through the difficult times with health and family and job and spiritually. You're going to go through those times. There may be times where you don't see the water flow and it seems to keep drying up more. And you say, "God, I know you want me here, but I want to see the water flow again. I want to see God come through again." It may seem all dried up and hopeless, but know that God has provided there. That if God has called you there and God has provided there, that God can and will provide again. Don't quit on God. You stay faithful to God, and God will always stay faithful to you. It's not time to run off on God. It's time to stay faithful and trust in the God that's brought you safe thus far and will safely lead us home. Don't quit on God during the dry seasons. What do we do during the dry seasons? Number two is wait until you hear from God. Wait. He said, "I want you to hide there." And He provided for him and provided over and over and over and over again. Day after day, week after week, month after month, until the brook dried up. And then what? What about when the last trickle came? He said, "Well, God must want me to leave." He stayed there until he heard from the voice of God again. He didn't leave when he got a better opportunity to leave. He didn't leave when he had his own ideas of where to go and what to do. He waited for the God that brought him there, for the same God that would call him to the next place in his life. Look at verse number 7. It says, Look at verse 6 first. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. He drank of the brook, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Period. And then what? How long did the time pass? And it says in verse number 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, God said, I've not forgotten about you, Elijah. I've not forgotten about you, Elijah. I know exactly where you are, but God waited for it to dry up completely. See, my thought is this. God, can you not wait until it's completely? How about when there's at least some water there? Hey, in a famine, the water dries up. You're dying. There's no water source around. And he could have said, it's my life. But he trusted God with his life before he got there. He trusted God with his life after he got there. I want to encourage you with this. Wait until you hear from God. You don't see any dialogue between the time that God sent him there till the time that God called him away. He just waited for the voice of God. He waited for his next orders. In the military, you follow the order that you've been given until you're given a different order. You follow your command, whether it be by life or by death. And the same thing as a Christian. May we not go by my own thoughts and my own thinking and my flesh, what a popular opinion may say. May we wait and listen for the voice of God. Say, God, I'm not going until you call me. I'm not changing until you move me. You never see Elijah complain. You never see Elijah question. You never see Elijah run away. God was silent, and then when it dried up, God spoke up, and God gave him a message. Look at verse number 8. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, and now God gave him a new command. And he says, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. Elijah probably goes, wait a second, hold on. I mean, the brook and the raven, and now a widow woman? Right? Think about it. Now, sometimes you have to put the pieces together in Scripture and do a little bit of studying. I want you to think about this. The brook Cherith to where Zarephath was, between 80 to 100 miles away. Think about that. He had given the challenge to Ahab and said, it's not going to rain on my command. And where he's going to Zarephath is close to where Jezebel was from. He's a wanted man. Not only was his life on the line physically for his food and his water, but he's going to the same place where Jezebel was, where her hometown was. This place of Zarephath was a place where the worship of Baal and where their idols were manufactured there. Zarephath is a place that means to melt. It's a place where it's a melting place of the idols and where false worship had happened, and that's where God is sending Elijah to go. He's sending him from trial to trial. He's sending him from one difficult place to another difficult place because he was building his faith. Continue looking here. It says in verse number 10, so he rose. He didn't question. He didn't complain. He arose and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman, listen to that, that was gathering of sticks. He called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go and to dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. She said, we just have a couple sticks and a little oil and a little bit of meal to make, and we're going to eat our last meal and we're going to die. Elijah said, you'd think by human reasoning, you'd think, well, I've got no water and I have no food, and you bring me to a woman that has one meal left for her and her son, for a widow woman and her son, and they're going to die. Wait on God's timing. Wait until you hear from the voice of the Lord. You know what Elijah could have done? He could have made up his own plan. And he said, God, it's not going to go against the word of God, but I'm going to create my own plan in my mind. I'm going to just, you know, nothing that goes against the Bible, but I have my own plan getting ahead of God. You ever do that? You ever go and get ahead of God before God has told you what to do? And you go and get your own plans that aren't wrong, but it wasn't God's direction. And then you stop and you realize, or God stops you and says, son, that wasn't my plan. You didn't hear that from me. He didn't forsake God's plan. He didn't question God's plan. He followed the plan of God. Psalms 27 verse 14 says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and he shall strengthen that heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, it's one thing I hate doing. Can you guess it? I hear laughing from one of the back rows. I hate waiting. Not one of my favorite things to do. Any of you love waiting? You love waiting in line. You love waiting for, you love being put on hold on the phone, right? You love the waiting times in your life of just saying, I love to wait for however long a period of time it may be. Some of the greatest places of faith and trust in God in our lives is the places where we just wait on God. You stay faithful doing what God has called you to do until further notice, until God has called and told you something else to do, and you just wait on the Lord. Isaiah 40, 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait on the Lord. You say, but God, I have an idea. How about just be quiet and wait on the Lord? God, I have a plan. How about we just wait and trust in the Lord? Say, but the brook is dried up. God must want me to go somewhere else. Wait on God's plan and God's timing and God's direction. Why? Because God's way is always best. Amen? God's way is always best. He waited and he waited. You know what the worst things that you can do during a time of a trial is to listen to your own heart. Listen to your own heart. And you say, you know what, I think I know what I should do. That's a dangerous place to be. That's a dangerous place to be when you listen to your own flesh, your own heart and mind. That's why you go and trust God. You listen to God. You get on your knees in prayer and you ask God. Don't listen to your heart. Don't follow the next shiny opportunity that comes along. Guess what? The devil is good at creating opportunities to get you out of the will of God. You know that? God can put you in a dry place, a place of testing. Opportunities can come along for advancement. Opportunities can come along to get higher up the pay scale, so to say, in life. But is it God's plan? See, the devil has plans and things that he can work out as well. You must know that it's the plan that comes from God. Wait on God's timing. Wait to hear from the voice of God. Again, I don't love waiting, but you sit and you wait and you pray and you make sure that it's God's direction in your life before you do anything. You don't start down the path and saying, God, is this your plan for me? While you're already going, you wait. Say, God, I'm not taking a step. I'm not taking a move. I'm not going to sell anything. I'm not looking anything up. I'm not creating my own plans, God. I'm going to wait on your timing. Just wait on the Lord. And then number three, what do you do when the brook dries up? Trust that God has a plan. Trust that God already has a plan. See, God has many things more than what we do, okay? But here's one thing that God has that is far beyond what we can do. God can see into tomorrow. We can look in the past and we can say, oh, I could have, I should have. God can look in the future. And it's if you wait on me, if you listen to me, I know exactly how this turns out. If you'll just trust me. If you just trust me. See, all of this right here was a faith-building experience for Elijah. Guess what? He'll have more in the future as well. Trust God's plan. See, but I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But if God does, that makes a whole lot more sense than me knowing what's going to happen tomorrow. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. But guess who does know what the day may bring forth? That's God, doesn't he? You can trust in the God who holds tomorrow. He has our lives in his hands. He has a perfect plan for your life. If God has brought you safe this far, can't he safely lead you home? If God has saved your soul and provided a home in heaven and brought you through this far in your life following God's will, can't you keep you in your will even when things don't look exactly like you want them to look? Even when it's not comfortable, even when things are getting difficult, trust that God has a plan. We know that God had his next meal prepared by a widow woman, but he didn't know it at this time. At this time at the brook, We know that in the next chapter that fire is going to fall down from heaven and consume the sacrifice, and he would kill the false prophets. He didn't know what was happening in the next chapter, but God knew it, didn't he? We know that Elijah would part the Jordan River, but he didn't know it at this time. We know that God would be preparing a whirlwind and a chariot to take Elijah to heaven, to take him up to heaven someday, but he didn't know it at this time. There's things in our future that God has prepared for us that we can mess up today if we don't stay following God's plan, right? How many times do we say, well, God has a plan and it looks like the difficult way to go, but then we have our own plan and it seems like the easy way to go? You go your way and you're not God's way. You're missing God's plan and blessings in your life. You're missing out. Young person, you think, but it's my life and my plans and my future. You're going to miss all that God has prepared for you if you get out of the will of God now, because things look easier and more fun and more shiny out there, because it's not easy staying at the brook, right? It's difficult. It's a place of trials. And you think, I'm praying and I'm barely making enough money and I don't have all the friends and the job and all the stuff. You stay faithful to God and you follow God no matter what, and God will see you through. God will see you through. God will help you. Don't jump ship. It's not time to quit on God. It's never time to quit on God. God will see you through. Isaiah 55 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." See, God has a plan. God has thoughts. God has a plan way better than I could ever plan it out. I don't know how my future turns out, but God does. See, our Christian life, it's a whole lot of faith building. Remember Job in the middle of his trial, he had lost everything. That wasn't a fun place to be, was it? I don't think anyone thinks, I can't wait for the next trial. I don't know any parent that says, you can take my child, you can take my home, you can take my health, you can take my friendships, you can take everything, but though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. That's a special kind of faith, isn't it? To know that God will provide for you, and there's times where things get difficult and God seems to take things away and God is doing that refining in your life. And you just trust God. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. There were some times during Job's trial where God was quiet. He didn't hear from God, and he had accusers, and man, he was going through the pressures of life, wasn't he? He was going through the pressure like the pressure cooker, like no one else. But he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And he said, I'm going to stay faithful to God. There's nothing that can get me off course from following God. Did God know what he was doing, Christian? Let me ask, does God know what he's doing in your life? Does he? Does God have a plan for your life? You say, but I don't have it all figured out. You stay faithful to God. You stay faithful to the Word of God, and you stay on your knees in prayer. You stay faithful to the house of God and keep witnessing and stay exactly where God has called you, and God will come through. Not he might come through, he will come through for you. You stay faithful to God and you watch. You watch. God has allowed me and my family to go through a number of trials that we could go through just as you have. You've gone through trials and we could pass the microphone around and all the trials that God has brought you through in your life. And there's times where you think, God, why? God, why? How are you going to use this for a good? And God brings you through that trial. And he builds your faith, and he brings you through another trial, and he builds your faith, and he gets you through the different seasons of life. And man, I want to live on the side of prosperity and blessing and all my needs met. But the place where God really builds your faith and he really builds my trust in him is in those dry seasons where you say, God, I don't have anything, but I have you, and I'm just going to trust you. With head bowed and eyes closed tonight, Lord, I pray you bless the message and the challenge tonight, Lord, as you've spoken to my heart. When the dry seasons come, everyone goes through them. When the brook dries up, when it seems that you've forgotten, and then you come through again. Lord, you help us, Lord, to be faithful during the dry seasons, to know exactly that you've placed us where you want us to be, that you are providing, and you have the next step planned if we'll simply just follow your voice, if we'll just trust in you. With head bowed and eyes closed, would you